in which a come before your very presence is your people. We come before your presence with a recognition of our worthiness, and also a deep appreciation of your greatness, your majesty, your glory, and your might. Father, we rejoice that we have Heavenly Father, who is so gracious and kind, patient, long-suffering, who watches over us, who does not reject us when we fall by faith, who will constantly encourage us to continue to come back to you, to walk in your ways. Father, we pray that you will help us even as we grow in appreciation, your greatness, your goodness, and all that you've done for our lives. We mourn religion and our walk with you. May you help us to be faithful and true to you in every aspect of our lives, in daily situations, in areas big and small. They may constantly be conscious of your presence, conscious of the fact that you are children of the Almighty God, children of light. They may be conscious that we are your ambassadors. And we ask also that you will help us, that we will not give way or compromise when we face difficult situations. In times of trials, we may be steadfast in the truth. We know that we will not be able to do so unless we come to you to know your enabling. Father, as we consider the life of Daniel, we ask that you will help us to appreciate what he has gone through, the difficulties, the difficult circumstances and framework within which he had worked out his life, and how he was faithful to you in every aspect of his life as recorded in the scriptures. We ask that you will help us not only to appreciate him as a person, but also to learn from him how we too can be faithful in our context, and to take heart that even as you have enabled him, live a life that is truly pleasing in your sight, even though the situation is rather difficult. We know that we can trust you to also see us through in every situation in our own context. We learn to trust you and walk in your ways. And so, Father, we commit this time to your hands, asking that you help us to see the truth more clearly. The scriptures will come alive to us. They're not just a story of a character of someone who lived long ago, but help us to be able to see what you can do in and through a man's life, one who is willing to trust you, who's willing to set his heart and mind to be faithful and true to you. Father, we ask that you will not allow the powers of darkness in any way to disturb and distract us during this time. May you also not allow our hearts and minds to be distracted by the cares of this world, but help us to focus our hearts and minds on you, to be able to hearken to what you have to say to us, that the truth will touch our hearts, and that there may be a response from deep within us to your calling for our lives. We ask that you fill this place with your presence, the Spirit of God will be pleased to speak to us, to enlighten our hearts. For we ask and pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today we continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the third message. the second major category of situations, the ninth message on situations. And we are considering the subtopic of the framework within which we work out our lives, the fifth message. And we are considering the biblical example of Daniel, man of high esteem, the third message on Daniel. We have been considering the life of Daniel as a good example of someone who fared very well within a difficult and a favorable framework. A framework within which people tend to think that it would be difficult to live well for the Lord. But actually, the man Daniel stands out in the scriptures as a very outstanding, faithful character, though the situation is rather difficult. We have spent some time to look at the historical and religious context in which Daniel built up his life of Israel under God's judgment, the land of Israel conquered by foreign armies, the temple in the process of destruction, and the people in exile. And Daniel himself, while still a youth, was exiled to Babylon and spent most of his life in the land of Babylon, or in a pagan land, permeated with false religious beliefs and practices. But we find that under such adverse circumstances, Daniel remained unwaveringly faithful to God, a shining light in a difficult context, a very good and effective testimony in the context that God has placed him. And today we go on to look at some of the fine qualities that are manifested in Daniel's life in the midst of his difficult situations and what we can learn from him. And so we continue to look at the next recorded incident in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6. This is a chapter, the main story, very familiar to many people in this world, even non-believers. Daniel chapter 6 is the reign of another king in another empire. And actually, Daniel lived quite a long life, served under different kings. Kings may come and go, empires may come and go. But for Daniel, his faithfulness, the principle by which he sought to live out his life, was unchanging. We know in the chapter 5 verse 31 tells us about Darius the Mede. We see the kingdom at about the age of 62, the reign of Darius, the Babylonian Empire having been overcome, conquered. It's a new empire. Chapter 6 of the book of Daniel records to us the incident of Daniel in the lion's den. And this is one of the most popular and well-known stories in the Bible. Even little children are familiar with this story, many are aware, and many are very impressed with this very dramatic event, and especially Daniel's miraculous deliverance by the Lord. The Lord sending his angel to shut the lion's mouth. You see this in verse 22. Daniel's testimony, "My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me." He was thrown into the lion's den, but the lions did not eat him, devour him. He was preserved. In case some of us, when we think of this story in the setting of story told to children's story, we may sometimes picture Daniel in the lion's den among very tame lions, all very well behaved, and that is why they didn't in any way harm him. We find that it's not so. These were very fierce lions, And we find that in verse 24, when the king gave orders to bring those that maliciously accused Daniel and cast them, the children, the wives, in the lion's den, they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. So these were rather fierce lions. So as I mentioned, that many of us, many people are familiar with this story, impressed with this miraculous intervention of the Lord in preserving Daniel's life in the lion's den. But not so many take note of and reflect on the really important issues surrounding this event. And thereby, many people actually miss out on the main truths to be learned from this episode in Daniel's life. And I want to emphasize this point because it is a sad reflection of how many approach the scriptures. We are often impressed with and we take note of the obvious but the superficial. And we are often impressed, especially with the dramatic events in the scriptures, but we often miss out on the deeper and the more significant issues because we fail to take time to consider, to reflect on the really important truths that God desires to teach us through the scriptures. But we are too easily satisfied with the superficial, the obvious, or the dramatic. In a way, this is also reflected in the way many believers tend to approach life generally. We tend to approach life, even as believers, we acknowledge, we profess to believe in the Almighty God, the issues of eternity, that all these are very important things. But often we tend to approach life in a very superficial way, and we take note of the obvious, but we seldom prayerfully consider the really deeper issues of life, what they mean, what are the implications, and how we should then work out our lives. In fact, the issue that many people tend to be rather impressed with in the story of Daniel about his deliverance from death in the lion's den, this actually is not really the critical point in the episode. That is, whether Daniel was actually delivered from death in the lion's den or not. This is not really the critical point in the episode. But the really important issue is the way Daniel conducted himself in his faithfulness to God. It's helpful for us then to reflect on the background to Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. And there are significant lessons that we can learn, and also how Daniel responded to the situation. In the first three verses, we can see how Daniel continued to fare well in the discharge of his official responsibilities and duties and governmental affairs. He was recognized by Darius and given a high post. So not only in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, but even under a new king and a different empire, Daniel's capabilities, wisdom, continues to be recognized, and he continues to be given significant responsibilities. Chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. So notice the whole kingdom Darius appointed 120 satraps to help administer the whole kingdom. It's a big empire. And on top of all these 120 satraps were three commissioners. In other words, they were right at the very top in the administration of this empire. That the satraps are accountable to these three commissioners. And then, amongst these three commissioners, Daniel was one of them. And verse 3 says, this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. So Daniel's capabilities was recognized, and he was rising to the very top. One of the three commissioners over the whole of the empire, over all the 120 satraps who had appeared to encounter them, and even amongst the three commissioners, Daniel was distinguishing himself, and the king was planning to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Verse 3 says he possessed an extraordinary spirit. In the margin, American Standard Version, it says literally, there was in him an extraordinary spirit. This could be a reference actually to the Holy Spirit at work in Daniel's life. So we find here Daniel holding a very high position, recognized, appreciated by the king. But then he began to move towards a direction of a scenario of rivalry, jealousy, conspiracy and plot by others to push him out of the sea. He was faring well, performing well, and because of this, there was rivalry, jealousy, and they were trying to plot against him, to harm him, to nullify him permanently through plotting his death. It was not a small thing. You're not just trying to hinder him in his work, but they actually wanted to nullify him permanently. And they would have succeeded, as we read on in the story, they would have succeeded had God not intervened in the situation. Let's read from verse 4 to verse 17. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. So not just one or two, a whole lot of them. The impression that comes through, many of them were involved in this. You're trying to find a ground of accusation against him in regard to government affairs, but he could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption in regards to work. They were not able to find a ground of accusation against him. Inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. When these men said, we shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. These two verses reveal much about Daniel. We will reflect more on them afterwards. But basically, they were not able to find anything against him regards to work, and as they thought about it, they felt the only way they could really succeed in their plot against Daniel is because they recognized that he is one who is uncompromising his faith. His walk with God he took seriously, and they felt that this is one area, one way in which they could succeed in their plot against him. So verse 6, these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king, in other words, they discussed about it, and there was a plan, a conspiracy. And they spoke to him as follows, King Darius live forever. Verse 7, all the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects, and the satraps, the high officials, and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Verse 7 again gives us the impression that many of them are involved in this conspiracy. So it was a very difficult situation. Many of them were against Daniel. It's all the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together and then come together with this proposal before the king. But it's quite clear that the statement that they make here is not really accurate. Because it says all the commissioners of the kingdom. We know Daniel was one of the commissioners, and definitely he was not consulted, and he did not agree to this. That they are putting forward to the king. And so we also find that often in the world, the people of the world, when they try to attain their ends, they will say whatever is suitable to their context, whatever they think will make their cause succeed, whether it is true or not. And also you find here that they appeal to an area in man that tends to make a person succumb. King Darius, they put it forward to him to make an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. This is an appeal to, in the direction of exalting the king, that no one should make a petition to anyone else, whether god or man, besides the king. And so they went on, now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Bear in mind this point, it cannot be revoked in their context. So once done, once the injunction is laid down, it cannot be revoked. And this is significant in the episode. King Darius later on couldn't revoke it. Verse 9, therefore King Darius signed the document that is the injunction. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open to Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. And this man came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Not by accident, just by design that they had planned this, and they came by agreement and caught Daniel, found him making petition. Verse 12, then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast in the lion's den? The king answered and said, the statement is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Then he answered and spoke before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you. A very provocative statement. Daniel pays no attention to you, although you are king, you have signed the injunction. Pay no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making his petition 3 times a day. Not only violating, but just carries on. There's no regard for you and your injunction. Verse 14, then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed. Instead of being very angry with Daniel, Darius was actually distressed because he didn't want Daniel to lose his life. He appreciated this man Daniel, but according to the law, the Medes and Persians, he couldn't be revoked. He set his mind on delivering Daniel, and even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. And this man came by agreement to the king and said to the king, recognize, O king, there is a law of the Medes and Persians and no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, your God whom you constantly serve will himself deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, and the signet rings of the nobles, so that nothing might be changed in regard to Daniel. Some reflections on this episode. You see, this chapter introduces us straight away to Daniel being exalted to a very high position in government affairs. And yet we find that a high post like Daniel's is actually not a glamorous post, not a glamorous position, not one where it's easygoing. And it's also positions like these, not necessarily exactly the same, but that kind of position is one in which a committed believer should assume. It's not a position that a committed believer should assume or take up without very careful, prayerful consideration as to the Lord's will in the matter. Especially when we have a choice whether we should be in that kind of position. Although to many people, such a position may appear very attractive because people tend to think of the authority, the power, the privileges associated with such a position. Whereas it may not even be to such a high position. In society, there are many high positions in work and so on. Let us remember that such positions, there are many and significant responsibilities involved. And also many difficult and complex issues that are often associated with the fulfillment of such responsibilities. Especially for a responsible Christian who wants to maintain a healthy and faithful walk with God. If we are not serious about our faith, we just concentrate on the work is one thing, or approach it from a worldly perspective and worldly ways. But you want to maintain a healthy walk with God, and you have to maintain a proper Christian stand and testimony, then many difficult issues may arise. In this instance, what Daniel went through was something that people deliberately plotted against him. Well, it can happen in that way. It can happen in many other ways. Here, it involves directly a principle of faith in his walk with God, prayer life. But in workplaces, in other aspects of our responsibility in society, there can be many, many different issues that may come up, which can be difficult for us from two angles. One can be the wisdom to know what to do, and the other aspect, strength to act according to our convictions. And the higher the position we attain, the more complex can be the issues that may arise, and the more difficult it can be at times to know what to do. The higher we go, the more difficult it can be to know what to do in complex situations that arises in the midst of many responsibilities, decisions that we made, as well as in the context of valuable people and at times people whose motives are not so good. In the context of rivalry, jealousy, ill intentions, many difficult situations can arise. And the higher we are, the more difficult it can be to maintain Christian stand and testimony and be wise. Know how to respond to different situations that arises. And also with many responsibilities, it can so consume our energy that it can be difficult to maintain a healthy walk with God, because all energy can be consumed with work responsibilities. So it is not an easy position to be in. But as we read through the story of Daniel, we know that Daniel didn't lay hold of his position because of his own desire, ambition, personal ambition. But on the one hand though, Daniel didn't reach out for a position like this because of personal ambition. On the other hand, he was willing to assume such responsibilities as he recognized that that was what the Lord desires of him, and he had a role to fulfill in that context. And we know that actually it was a very, very effective testimony that Daniel bore in that context, and we will in due time reflect further on Daniel's contribution as he sought to be faithful to the Lord and even assume such a difficult role position that he recognizes God desires of him in that context. The second reflection, what we just considered, the first reflection is on a high position like Daniel, that we may tend to think it's glamorous or easy going with privileges and so on, but actually it can be very difficult, and we should be slow to just lay hold of it. The second reflection and is a question that we can ask ourselves: do we face various difficulties in our career, in our workplace, as well as other contexts? Are there difficult people, including colleagues or superiors, subordinates, or various complexities and situations which are difficult for us to maintain our Christian stand? Situations where it's difficult for us to know what to do to be true to God, the wisdom to know what to do, and also situations where at times, even after we come to know what to do, we find it very difficult to act according to our convictions, the strength to act according to our convictions. Are there occasions or situations and contexts like these which may seem so unmanageable, so overwhelming, rather unbearable to us? If we do face situations like this or feel in this way, let us also ask, how does it compare with what Daniel had to face and go through? As we saw in the context, so many of them were all against him, plotting against him, and it was not a minor thing. They were actually plotting against his death, against his life, and they nearly succeeded if God had not intervened. So let us take heart and be of good courage. If God can see Daniel through such a difficult context, then he can see us through our lesser problems. If, like Daniel, we learn to trust him and also learn to walk faithfully with him. But we need to take note of the fact that the difficulties and the dilemma that Daniel had to face and go through was through no fault of his. And this is a helpful point to take note of. Rather, we see that it was actually through his conscientiousness, his good performance and conduct, which incurred the displeasure and antagonism of his colleagues and rivals. Not through fault and failures on his part. This is an important point to take note of. And we just look at these two brief verses, verses 4 and 5, which speak so much of the qualities in this man Daniel in relation to his work and his conduct. Verses 4 and 5. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Just this brief verse tells us not only of Daniel's capability, but his moral character, as well as his sense of responsibility in fulfilling his work. He was faithful. No negligence or corruption was to be found in him. And they could find no ground of accusation against him in regard to the performance of his responsibilities in government affairs. And take note that this has to do with enemies trying to find fault. And also people who know him well, they were his colleagues. They knew him and his work responsibilities, which means that they were trying to scrutinize, to find fault with him, and yet not being able to do so tells us that the standard with which Daniel lived his life must have been a very high standard, that even his enemies who knew him well sought hard to find fault with him, and yet they couldn't find a single ground of accusation against him. No accusation of any sort that they could have against him. No corruption of any sort. He was faithful, no negligence. A very high standard indeed. And especially if we consider the post that Daniel had, even in modern days, we find that people who attain to very high positions, power, abuse of power comes about easily for people in high positions. Corruption also tends to come through easily, even much more so in the ancient world. But Daniel, we find he was in the world, but unstained by the world. He was fulfilling his responsibilities in the world, but he maintained a very high standard of conduct, especially the moral aspects, no corruption of any sort, but also with responsibilities, he sought to fulfill them well. And as we think of these two verses and what is said of Daniel, or actually haven't touched on verse 5, let us go on to verse 5, which complements verse 4, also very helpful. Take note of verse 5. Then this man said, "We shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." So this man knew. They knew him well. They knew that not only was he faithful, no negligence or corruption in relation to work, but they said, if we want to find fault against him, we can only do so with regards to the law of his God. And we reflect upon this, it actually, this verse communicates to us, reveals to us, that this man knew that Daniel will not compromise in relation to his faith, that he took his faith very seriously. That he's not one who takes his walk with God in a very casual manner. And as we read on the story, the way they went about forming this plot is in relation to prayer. And they knew that Daniel is one who takes prayer seriously and who will not compromise. And they knew that was a way to get him, to frame him up, to cause him to lose his life. And as we reflect on this, this also should come through to us quite strongly of the kind of testimony Daniel must have maintained regards to the carefulness and the earnestness with which he sought to live out his life before God. In other words, those who are trying to find fault with him, his enemies, they cannot find any desperate grounds against him. But instead, they knew that if they wanted to plot against him, it wasn't anything that is wrongdoing, anything evil, anything that is not good, but actually the other way around, his faithful walk with God. That's the way to find fault with him. In the very process of his faithful walk with God, they are going to find fault with him, because they know he will be faithful to God. So if there's anything they can devise so that by faithful walking with God it would cause him his death, that would be the way to nullify him. And that is what they did in relation to the area of prayer. So we find these two verses, we link it up together. It reveals to us the personal, moral, character of Daniel, as well as his sense of responsibility in the way he worked up his life. But all this linked very much to the faithful walk with God. And that all those who knew him well, even his enemies, saw this very clearly. It's not an ambiguous thing. It stands out. A man who was earnest in his walk with God, faithful in his walk with God, who took his faith very seriously and also reflected in the way he conducts himself and discharge of his responsibilities. It would be good if these remarks can also be said of each one of us in the way we fulfill our respective areas of work and responsibilities. Careful, responsible, no moral lapses, and all this linked to a clear manifestation of seriousness, commitment in our walk with God, in our faithfulness to God. And so we can then also ask ourselves these questions. Are there the difficulties which confront us and the antagonism that we face from others, including in our workplaces, but not just in workplace, but elsewhere, difficulties we face, antagonism, problems in relationships, are they due to conscientiousness on our part, good performance, proper conduct, faithfulness to God? Do the problems arise because of these reasons? Or are they due to, or at least in part, contributed by our lack of wisdom, lack of carefulness, our poor attitudes, poor attitude towards work, or improper conduct, or weaknesses, failures on our part? We need to ask ourselves this, because if not, we may too easily comfort ourselves wrongly when we face various difficulties, that we are suffering for the Lord, just like Daniel. Because there are deficiencies and failures, areas that are not right, that causes and contributes to problems, we must take steps to remedy them before we comfort ourselves that we are suffering from all these problems because of our faithfulness to God. On the other hand, we also have to bear in mind that faithfulness to God, or even good performance at work and proper conduct, all this does not mean that everyone will appreciate us, whether it be at work or in other contexts. It doesn't mean that if we conduct ourselves well, that every person will appreciate us. There will be those who appreciate us, but there will be those also who will be unhappy with us. And it doesn't mean that there will be no antagonism, no difficulties that we will encounter because we have been careful, we have been responsible, and we have been faithful to God. But if we are faithful to God and we are responsible, careful, conduct ourselves properly, then a very important point arises, and that is we can then wholeheartedly trust God. We can then properly trust God to see us through, and we can have a full assurance that even though there are difficulties, sufferings that we go through, there will be a true and effective witness to the truth and to know of God's approval and blessing. And this is crucial. It doesn't mean there will be no difficulties, no complexities, but this is what our calling is all about in this world. Be a witness, be a light in the darkness. In the midst of the difficulties, sufferings, if we conduct ourselves well, there will be a true and effective witness, and we can also have a deep sense of assurance that God will undertake as He sees fitting. Whatever may be the outcome, Daniel was delivered from death and lion's den. But as I mentioned, this is a critical point. Even if he were to lose his life in the lion's den, it will also be a very powerful testimony of one who is true to his faith, even unto death. Let's also consider the qualities manifested in Daniel as the plot progresses, as it thickens. Finding as the various ones conspired against him and came to Darius and requested of and obtained this injunction from Darius against anyone making petition to any god or man besides the king for 30 days. Verse 10 tells us, now when Daniel knew the document was signed, entered his house and continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. Then a short verse which has much to tell us. It began with Daniel knew. So it's not because he's ignorant of what is taking place. He knew. He knew the consequences also, and the dangers that he was exposing himself to if he were to continue praying the way he used to. But Daniel knew, and yet he continued praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. We find that though Daniel knew of the injunction, he was not ignorant of it. He knew the danger he was exposing himself to, but he continued what he had been doing previously, and 3 times a day praying to God, giving thanks. So it tells us a few things. It indicates to us that Daniel took prayer very seriously. It's an integral part of his life, as he'd been doing previously, 3 times a day. This is a time set aside. That doesn't mean that other times a day he is not prayerful. But he also recognized the importance of setting aside time regularly, consistently to pray. Set apart time to pray to God. And his prayer also, giving thanks, that's a very significant aspect of his prayer life, his appreciation of God. Kneeling on his knees, his posture of humbling himself before the Almighty God. Regular, consistent, recognizing the importance of prayer, prayer an integral part of his life. A man of prayer. One who appreciates and recognizes the importance of prayer and sought to live his life accordingly. And because Daniel recognized the importance of prayer, he was not going to be frightened into giving up this activity or deterred from this very basic spiritual activity and faithfulness to God. This is quite clear. Whatever it may cost him, he is not going to give up praying to God. Whatever may be the threat or threats, even the threat of death, this was actually a very real threat of death. Even the threat of death, Daniel wasn't going to give up this very basic, crucial spiritual activity of prayer and a very vital part of his walk with God, his relationship with God. Of course, in a context like this, the issue of wisdom to respond in such context is a very important issue. How to respond in a situation like this? There's this plot, this injunction is there. How to respond? Wisdom is important in context like this. It was a very difficult situation in a rather difficult framework. that Daniel was in. Remember that he was an exile in a foreign land and surrounded by many who intended him harm. And we see this also was emphasized and highlighted by his enemies, verse 13. You see, they answered and spoke before the king. Daniel, who is one of the exiles, they highlighted this, he's an exile. And yet, this exile, they emphasized, this exile from Judah, he pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making his petition 3 times a day. This exile doesn't regard you, no regard for you. So it's a difficult situation for Daniel. An exile in a situation with many opponents and a definite plot against his life. We may then ask ourselves this question. First question, why did Daniel continue to pray as he used to? He knew that there was this plot against his life, deliberately aimed at him. And why did he continue to pray as he used to? Answer, he must continue to pray and maintain his relationship with God and this very vital spiritual activity of prayer. He will not give it up. And this is something difficult to understand for men like Daniel, even the threat of death. He must continue to pray and to maintain his relationship with God and this vital spiritual activity. But then the second question we may ask is, why not do it secretly? If he must maintain his prayer life, why not do it secretly? Why do it the way he used to? And we notice here in verse 10, when the document was signed, he entered his house, and in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Why did he continue the way he used to? In a way that others can see. Which verse 11 tells us that this man came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Why did he continue doing it in this way? The others, his enemies, could then see it, know about it, and bring charges against him before the king. Why did Daniel continue to pray as he used to in this manner? Why not do it secretly? As we read through the story, the records, we find that no reasons are given in the records. No reasons are recorded for us. But we can consider some related reasons, trying to understand why Daniel conducted himself the way he did. There are some related reasons which could have influenced Daniel conducting himself the way he did. I spent some time reflecting on this issue because we must not too easily assume that in context like this, we must all the time respond in this way. Whatever it may be, injunctions, laws, whatever, just carry on. Because, as I mentioned, wisdom in such context is very important. And it's helpful to reflect on why Daniel conducted himself the way he did, so that we too may also learn how to respond to situations that we are in. What kind of factors that will influence us in our consideration of how we ought to respond to difficult situations and even times of crisis. For some related reasons which could have influenced Daniel conducting himself the way he did. A. From the records, you can see that apparently the others knew about his practice in this area. The others knew about it. Verse 10 tells us how Daniel prayed 3 times a day in the kind of context as he had been doing previously, and then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making the petition and supplication before his God. So the whole flow of it shows to us that apparently they knew about it, and also in the context of this plot that he had made. And in verse 13 also, they mention to the king how Daniel keeps making his petition 3 times a day. So apparently you're familiar with Daniel's practice even before this. And that's why they frame the plot in this way. And if Daniel were to cease praying as he used to, bearing in mind the others knew that this was his practice, it may cause the others to think that he had compromised in his faith. If Daniel ceased to pray the way he used to, the others may draw the conclusion that he had stopped praying and that he was compromising in his faith, because they're observing his life. And generally, you're able to see that he was an uncompromising man in relation to the faith. He took his faith seriously. And the testimony of the preciousness of his faith and the importance of being true to God is an important part of the testimony of the line of Daniel. And if you were to cease praying as he used to, it may cause the others to think that he had compromised his faith. That is, he was fearing the injunction more than he feared God. It was important to Daniel to maintain the testimony of the significance and the unambiguous priority of prayer and his faith in God. Then his faith in God is more important to him than any other issue, including man's fear of such an injunction. This related to the other two aspects. B. Even if Daniel were to contemplate ceasing from his usual practice, it would probably have appeared to him, or it could have appeared to him, to be difficult to properly maintain an effective prayer life in such a way that the others would not be able to find out. Daniel, he could have contemplated, you know, should he cease from praying the usual way, but praying in a way that nobody knows, silently, quietly, secretly. But if Daniel contemplated ceasing from praying according to his usual practice, it could have appeared to him difficult to maintain, to properly maintain an effective prayer life in such a way that the others would not be able to find out. I say in a way that the others would not be able to find out because they were all out to catch him. They were all out to catch him. So how is he to maintain an effective prayer life in such a way that the others would not be able to find out? Because an effective prayer life would also include prolonged times of prayer, which is precious to Daniel. How is he going to go about it? And they can come at any time to disturb him, knock on his house and so on, and they'll try to find out what he's been doing and so on. How is he going to continue for 30 days to maintain an effective prayer line before God when there are these people all out to catch him? And they're doing it in such a way that no one is able to know that not only has he been praying regularly, but that he's not praying at all. Because any petition would violate the injunction. And bear in mind also that since they had plotted against him deliberately, all out to corner him, they could also easily have questioned him, even if they do not catch him in the physical, external aspects of prayer, in the posture of prayer. They could still question him, have you been praying? How is Daniel going to answer questions like this? Especially as we read through the story of Daniel, he was very conscious of the importance of the testimony that he was bearing, the context that he was in. Is he going to deny that he has been praying? What is he to do? It will be difficult. See, Daniel may also have believed that a stand on this particular issue, in this particular situation, was needful for him in his position. He was right at the very top. Demonstration in the government position. And he could very well believe that for him to make such a stand is very important, needful in the context he was in. For himself, for the whole empire, and also for other believers, as well as for non-believers. I elaborate into what I mean by this. One aspect to do with the importance of a stand on the freedom to worship the true God. Because worship of the true God is very crucial. And Daniel could very well have felt that in such a context, it was important and needful for him to make a stand on the freedom to worship the true God. You notice when he spoke to Darius in verse 22, after mentioning how God had sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth, and they are not harming him, as much as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. Daniel says, I have committed no crime. Although there was injunction against such a practice. In other words, Daniel is trying to tell Darius that even though if such injunctions are made, such laws may be enacted, but they are not true laws. They are not really valid because they violate against a very fundamental right of every human being to worship the true God. And so, it should be properly disregarded. And that is also how God looked at it. As God sent his angel to deliver him, and Daniel was found innocent before God. And he had not done anything wrong against the king. Committed no crime. The freedom to worship the true God is the right of every human being. And laws and enactments against the freedom to worship the true God is not a true law. It's not really valid in the sight of God. And Daniel was prepared to make a stand and to die for such a stand. The freedom to worship the true God, and also together with that as a powerful testimony to others, the believers and the non-believers, of the true value, preciousness and significance of one's relationship and faithfulness to the true and living God. This is a rather important point. By conducting himself in this way, he puts across a powerful testimony to believers as well as non-believers. To other believers, that they can also, as they look at his life and what stand he's prepared to make, he'll help them to appreciate the preciousness and the value that one should attach to one's relationship with God. That is, a relationship with God, our relationship with God, the true value is far above all else, and for which one should be willing to lay down one's life if need be. And this would also be a strong encouragement to other believers. Whether they do likewise, like Daniel or not, is another matter, but help impress upon them the significance, the value, the preciousness of one's relationship and walk with God. And the other is regards to non-believers. The non-believers can also see, as they witness the stand of Daniel, that his faith, his relationship with God, means a lot to him. And that actually, one's relationship with God is of a very, very significant, is a very significant matter of true preciousness, and that is actually far more important than all else. And this would be a very helpful point to communicate the non-believers. And his stand could also significantly help other believers in their freedom to work out their faith. Because of Daniel's high position, the way he conducted himself could then exert an influence, an effect upon the governing authorities, upon the king, for example, to think about this matter somehow, that he will be affected, deeply impressed on this issue in the future. So even if Daniel were to die in the lion's den, for example, he could also choke the lions. Be very careful about this point, about freedom to worship God, and can be very helpful for other believers. And in fact, we find that the way Daniel conducted himself and as God vindicated him, we find impact on Darius. Verse 25 onwards, it says, "Then Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who were living in all the land." So not just impact on Darius himself, but implications for the whole empire. "May your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel." Now remember, Daniel, while making his stand, he knew he had already a testimony before the Darius. There are some verses which we may not have time in this chapter to look at how Daniel responded, how the Darius conducted himself when Daniel was cast in the lion's den, that showed his appreciation and high regard for this man Daniel. And Daniel knew that as he made this stand, the Darius would pay attention to it, because the Darius had a high respect for him, high regard for him. And in fact, this is what happened, the impact of the Darius. He says, "I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." The impact not only on Darius at a personal level, but implications for others living in the empire. He made a decree, "In all the dominion of my kingdom, men have to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel." So Daniel knew that for him to extend, it's not just personal in his own walk with God. It has important, far-reaching implications. So in regards to this issue and the query some may have as to whether Daniel's response in the situation is really the wisest thing to do under the circumstances, is it really wise or not? It's quite clear that we should be very slow to conclude that it wasn't wise, or even at the end of it to be doubtful as to whether it was a wise thing for Daniel to do. Because apart from the basis and the reasons that we have considered, which could have influenced Daniel in making the stand as he did, let us also remember that the whole flow of the story of Daniel, the portrait of this man, to conclude that there wasn't a wise thing for Daniel to do, or even be doubtful whether it's a wise thing, is not really consistent with the general flow of the story. Though there's no specific mention as to whether it was the wisest thing to do, the whole flow of it, there's nothing in the records to indicate to the contrary that he had not acted wisely. And not only that, the whole flow was testimony of a very faithful man of God. And also another aspect of it that I see helpful to take note of is that in regards to the issue of wisdom itself, that Daniel is actually highlighted and noted as outstanding in wisdom, as well as his carefulness in the area of being prayerful before he makes a stand on things. So outstanding in the area of wisdom, for example, we look at Daniel chapter 1. Before we question his wisdom, be doubtful as to whether he was wise in the stand that he makes. Chapter 1 verse 17, as for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. And God was helping these 4 youths with knowledge, intelligence, and also wisdom. And Daniel stands out amongst the 4 of them. And then in verse 20, and as for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his world. Daniel was a man of wisdom and understanding with an outstanding degree. And then in chapter 5, verse 11, chapter 5, verse 11, when Belshazzar was facing a problem, the queen entered the banquet hall. We were puzzled by the inscription on the wall, and Belshazzar was alarmed, fearful. No one could read the inscription. The queen spoke to the king. Verse 11, there is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, illumination, insight, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. Illumination, insight, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. He was noted as one outstanding wisdom. And then in verse 14, Belshazzar spoke to Daniel, I have heard about you, the spirit of the gods is in you, and that illumination, insight, an extraordinary wisdom have been found in you. And it's not just a momentary thing, a particular occasion. Throughout many, many years, Daniel has stood out as a man of insight, understanding, and exceptional wisdom. And notice that by this time in the story of Daniel chapter 6, he had already years of experience, growth, and also knowledge of his particular context as to what would be the wisest thing to do in his particular context, not just there in his personal self, but the context of the empire, the situation that he was in. He had years of experience, grown in knowledge, matured in his faith and in his walk with God. And many indications in this story, including at the very beginning, which we saw, how when faced with problem concerning Nebuchadnezzar and his dream and his wanting to kill all the wise men, including Daniel's 3 friends, how Daniel sought the Lord in prayer and so on. Many indications, and including in this chapter 6, Daniel as a man of prayer, he would have carefully prayed and talked through the matter before the Lord and sought the Lord, especially when this issue is such an important one and the whole thing was a matter of life and death and testimony of the truth and his walk with God. So it's a matter that he would have earnestly sought the Lord and prayed carefully over the matter, and he must have come to the conclusion and believe the conviction that God desired him to conduct himself the way he did. That this was an important part of an effective testimony of a life of faith and faithful walk with God. And the impact and significance would be rather great. He must be faithful in this respect. And as we saw, there was actually that powerful impact on Darius, as well as the extent of the implications when Darius made a decree. And many people would also have come to know about this incident. So the impact implications would be rather extensive. regards to this issue of making a stand, wisdom to know what to do in various complex situations that may arise, at times it can be difficult for a Christian, for a believer, to know how best to respond to various complex situations that may arise in our walk with God. And we need to be clear about the issues involved. At times it can be quite difficult to know what to do, how best to respond to complex situations that may arise. And at times it can be crisis kind of situations. The kind of stand we make, implications can be very far-reaching. And we need to bear in mind various factors and angles of looking at the issue. But it's important in such context for us to face the issues prayerfully and honestly. I say the need to face the issues prayerfully and honestly because often we may give excuses, rationalize away, give various reasons why we do this and that. But it's not because we honestly really believe that that is the way to be faithful to God. For example, we should not just choose the easy way out and offer many, many reasons why we do it this way or that way. On the other hand, we also should not, for the sake of appearing courageous or to appear to be a man of faith, man of courage, actually take a stand or conduct ourselves in such a way that we expose ourselves as well as other people to unnecessary risks, dangers, and problems, and also hindering the Lord's work. This is a very serious matter that we need to take note of and be very careful about, because at times, if our heart's attitude is not right or the approach is not sound, there can be very far-reaching implications and consequences, especially when the issue is very significant. We need to be very prayerful and careful, pray over the matter, consider it carefully before the Lord. Various factors we need to bear in mind, various angles of looking at the matter, and finally, to try our very best to understand what really the Lord requires of us, face it honestly, and seek by God's grace to act accordingly. On the one hand, not just choosing the easy way out, on the other hand, not just exposing ourselves and others to unnecessary risks and dangers in order to appear courageous or to appear a man of faith. The wise way to respond to various situations can vary. But I see an important point to take note of in this episode is this, that the main point and significance of this incident lies in its revelation of how much Daniel valued his relationship and faithful walk with God. This to me is a very significant point in this incident. It reveals to us how much Daniel valued his relationship and a faithful walk with God. To what degree or limit he would go to maintain his stand of faithfulness to God and not compromising his faith. How far would he go? That is, to the degree that he could understand of what was needful in a given situation. To the degree that he could understand of what is needful in a given situation, Daniel was prepared to go all the way, including laying down his life if need be. That his relationship with God and faithfulness to God, being true to God, and to be a good testimony. All this had first place in his heart. It meant more to him than anything else. And his life, the way he conducted himself in this situation, is a true life illustration of the principle that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Two verses that we are familiar with, but the story of Daniel brings home this principle forcefully to us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Paul mentions in verse 20 that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Although Daniel lived before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, his incarnation, the principle is the same. Exaltation of the Lord. Christ, or you can speak the Lord. God. The Lord shall even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Whatever it may be, he must exalt the Lord in his life. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For Daniel to live, is to be true to the Lord, and to all that God desires and requires of him. And to die is gain. Death is not a fearful thing to him if it is the path of faithfulness to God. The Lord meant everything to him to be true to God, or is more important to him than all else. But it requires commitment, faith, and courage in the truth to conduct himself in the way that he did. He had to be committed, he had to have faith, and he also required courage in the truth. I say courage in the truth because in such a difficult situation like this, it requires a lot of courage to conduct himself the way he did. But it's courage in the truth. As he recognizes the truth, he exercises faith in God and continues unwaveringly to be true to the Lord. And we find that God vindicated Daniel by intervening in the situation and delivering him from the lion's mouth. With Daniel, submission to God and worship of God overrides all else, including submission to other authorities whenever there is a conflict. And this is also a principle for us to bear in mind, that God desires us generally to be respectful to authorities, but whenever there is a conflict, submission to God and worship to God must override all else, including submission to other authorities, if there is a conflict. A conflict between faithfulness to God or submission to other authorities. There are other aspects in this episode of Daniel's, of the riot response and so on, but I think because of time we should leave that to another occasion. There are also various other aspects of Daniel's life and conduct which are very meaningful and helpful for us to reflect upon for our lives. But for today, we shall just conclude with this reflection in the light of what we just considered about the stand that Daniel made. That we should just quietly reflect before the Lord as to how much we really value our relationship with God, our walk with Him, our faithfulness to Him. It's easy for us to say, it means a lot to us. We value it very much. But pause and ponder. As we ponder and reflect about the meaning implications as reflected in the life of Daniel. How much we really value our relationship with God, our walk with Him? Is it really above all else? And we're prepared to take a stand, even when it costs us much? But it's not just during times of crisis. The important part has to do with, at the very heart, the depths of our heart, how much do we really treasure and value our walk with God? It has many implications. For example, the preciousness of the time of prayer, the importance and significance of prayer to Daniel. Not just to make a stand to show people that he will carry on, he's not afraid of death. But it arises from the significance of prayer to him because of the way he valued, treasured his relationship with God, and prayer as a direct linkage with his relationship with God. So it may not be times of crisis, but each day, in our time with the Lord, the way we conduct ourselves daily, is it actually reflected in every area of our life that deep within us we really deeply value our relationship with God, our walk with Him, and the various aspects of our lives and the way we conduct ourselves, channel our time and energy, are all consistent with the fact that God means more to us than all else? Our relationship with Him, our walk with Him, the quality of our lives, our growth in Him, our faithfulness to Him. And that we will not allow anything to disturb, to distract, to hinder us from nurturing our walk with Him, from faithfully working our life before Him. So that we can spend some time to reflect over our lives, as we reflect over how Daniel made his stand, whether in your place of work, in a family context, whatever context of life, it matters big or small. Let us not just contemplate on specific situations, but first contemplate the realities in our heart, and then to check the faithfulness of our working in different contexts. How much does our walk with God really mean to us? As we reflect on our lives, let us also reflect on the Lord Jesus as our perfect example. His relationship with the Father, His unwavering obedience to the Father, whatever it may cost Him, and as a result of His faithfulness, that we can have life, forgiveness of sins, reconciliation to the Father. Papa in heaven, we worship You, praise You, adore You, the true and living God, the one who has no grace and mercy, not only created us but also redeemed us, and not only has forgiven us of all our sins, but also made us children of God, and given us the gift of eternal life and the gift of the Holy Spirit. If we can actually be joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, be united with Him, Father, we ask that You teach us and help us to gain insight into the preciousness of our relationship with You. And Father, indeed we may respond to You with all our hearts, soul, and mind, and strength. And indeed we may learn how to love You and be true and faithful to You, even as You love us and You are true and faithful to us. We thank You that unworthy teachings of us and all our frailties can have this kind of relationship with You. We thank You for the life of Daniel, since some to us of how a man can walk with his God and be true to Him. been through in such a difficult framework in which he had to work out his life, and such pressures and opposition to his faith and the blocks of men, the trials he had to go through, and yet be shone out with such brilliance in a pagan, godless society. We ask that you help us in our context, where we have so much encouragement, so much you provided for us for godly living, that we will not lose heart in the midst of difficulties, complexities that we face in our context, but to know that you are a great God, that you help all those who trust in you to be able to go through life triumphantly in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you always provide a way for all those who trust you to walk in the truth and the light, that we too can be effective true witnesses of the Lord, the truth. So we ask that you will help us, that you will search our hearts, that you will do a deep work within each one of us and your spirit, the longings of our heart, the priorities of our life, and be consistent with that of a true disciple of the Lord. That in all that we do, think, and say, there may be the spirit of discipleship, of deep love and commitment to God, that we may know the joy of walking with you day by day, knowing your guidance, your energy. We ask that you will search our hearts, longings that shouldn't be there, deficiencies, weaknesses that needs to be dealt with. Convict us of these areas and help us to know how to overcome them. Help us that we will not offer excuses. Help us that we will not be discouraged or lose heart because we have faltered. Teach us how to be able to look at our own lives the way you look at it, and how to trust you to overcome and live a life that be true to you and bear fruit in every good work. And so we entrust our lives to your hands, asking that you will continue to help each one of us live our lives in accordance with your perfect will for each one of us. We thank you for the example of Lord Jesus. We thank you that he is interceding even now for each one of us, and also together as a congregation, that he cares for us. He is our good shepherd. He goes before us. He shows us the way. We thank you, the Spirit of God, who empowers us, enables us to live for you. We thank you now for the bread, for the wine. We ask for your blessings and the elements. We ask that you will cleanse us from all our sins. We will not partake of our suffering in a worthy manner. We ask that you will strengthen our spirit. Strengthen our inward man as we partake, and be strengthened by the life of Christ.